Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vanta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hiya, gang. Now if you'll all be quiet, we'll start the show.
TMOS Classic. Friday Flashback.
We are very excited on the Mike O'Mara Show. Coming up in just a few minutes here, we are going to speak to a very unique comedian, a man who spearheaded the movement of putting the Christ back in Christmas. A man known as the Christian comic.
Yes.
Mike, he prefers faith-based.
Faith-based comic, yes. Fresh from his stand-up gig at Liberty University. No, of course not. We have Gilbert Gottfried coming up shortly on the Mike O'Mara Show. So that will be something to look forward to. I would like to give you my semi-annual or my annual tribute to NyQuil.
Great. NyQuil. It's a great elixir.
Now, yesterday I talked about melatonin, where Carla had me take this little pill. Or maybe I didn't get
to that. No, you mentioned it in the pre-show.
So Carla's into this melatonin, which is a sleep aid. And I took one. And early, maybe even before 9 o'clock, I got super, super sleepy and then went right to bed and then woke up at midnight fully awake.
Mm.
Like 12:30, fully awake, was up till 2:30. Yesterday, I was goofy tired all day long because of that. I think anyone, by the way, as far as being fatigued,
yes.
If you're a connoisseur of the show Political Persuasions, let me remind you that this episode, Oscar, which you weren't around, Rob and I were around for it. Oscar, this episode of Political Persuasions will be one you really don't want to miss. Yes.
Spicy.
I like to think that during the show yesterday, I controlled myself a little bit.
Oh, wow.
I didn't.
Do you think that?
Well, at the beginning of the show, I was very borderline full nuclear. And then, as the show continued, as it's often wont to do, it's my therapy, and it ended up being a very festive, fun, kind of Christmassy show.
Oscar, there used to be a show called Mission Impossible. In the opening sequence, there was a long fuse burning, and it took forever. But you
Freights
definitely knew when it started.
Freights and I go toe-to-toe, screaming at each other. Did we edit out the profanity
yesterday?
We
bleeped it.
We bleeped somewhat, the profanity.
I knew something had gone off script, if you will.
Yeah.
When the first comment on the Political Persuasions Facebook page that I witnessed in, I would say, the late afternoon.
Oh, God.
Sure.
Said, Mike, please less F-bombs, more facts.
All I know is this.
Yeah, they heard it. Yep, they heard it. That's for sure.
As the Imagineer.
He said the F-bomb first.
He did.
Said it first.
You know what? He had a shorter fuse than you. But
he did.
You know what?
He was cranky,
you
wasn't
know what
he?
He was the dynamite cap, but you were the dynamite.
Yeah, yeah. I went full irrational.
All I know is that when I do the show, I can see Maddie in the control room, and
right.
I've never seen her eyebrows that high.
We can talk about all that later. Right now, please, our favorite Christian faith-based comic, fresh from Liberty University, where he not only offers stand-up comedy, but then he lectures the students on what it is. To walk in one with Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. I don't know what I'm doing. Please welcome. He's here.
Mr. Christmas.
Mr. Christmas himself. Gilbert Gottfried. Hi, Gilbert. How are you?
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah. Well, that's all I have to say.
Jay.
Yeah. I'm so in the mood for you right now. Yes, the man who the television show The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel was based on, even though she's a woman, Gilbert Gottfried. Gilbert, I don't know. I know you've been on that show, but I think about you every time. It is my favorite television show. I just love it. It's so New York. It's so very, very New York.
Yeah. Is that code word, Mike?
Translation Jew. Yeah, it's very New York. Kind of like, that was a favorite catchphrase for anti-Semites. Oh, he seems like one of those New York types.
A New York comic?
Yeah, New York comic. You
know, that's probably,
hey,
you know.
You're charging a lot at this store. What are you, a New Yorker?
You're killing me. Oh, God, that is so true.
Don't lend that guy any money. He's a regular New Yorker.
My wife, we're watching Mrs. Maisel, our favorite television program, and when they do the whole thing at the Catskills, Carla leans over to me and says, "I wish I was Jewish. I really wish I was." I have no frame of reference.
She doesn't know any better.
I will tell you, it's just so watching them at the resort, at Steiner Resort up there. And I know you've been on this show. Do you, Gilbert, do you consume the show, too? Do you watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
I have. My favorite was the one I was on.
But, of course.
It's so incredible when they're up there and to experience that. I thought about those resorts. I was talking with Rob with it before we came on the air, and how much entertainment there really was. The food, everything seemed to be taken care of. Those great resorts in the Catskills that are now almost all gone, right? They're all abandoned, I think, Rob. That's what they are.
Gilbert, did your family ever go to any of the resorts in the Catskills?
I don't remember ever going to any of the resorts. Maybe at best we rented a bungalow somewhere, but none of those like the Neverly and all those places.
Grossinger's, yeah.
I once worked in Neverly. I mean, I did one show there and bombed severely.
Well, it's great to have you on. How are you doing? How is the world of Gilbert? Is everything good? Everything good in your world?
Yeah. Okay, bye.
It's good to have you on, Gilbert. We love to have you on, and I don't know. I've been thinking about you. I think about Gilbert probably more than I really should.
That's
I don't
a
know,
holiday
Rob,
thing.
Is it a holiday
I
thing?
Think it is.
Why would I think about him during the holidays?
Well, when you think of the birth of our Lord, yeah, to think Gilbert Gottfried just goes perfectly.
Oh, God. You know, I can't get by it now when you said, yes, New Yorker, anti-Semite means Jew.
Yeah,
oh,
no. Of course. Gilbert, I want to ask you a question about your podcast. First thing, do you ever just want to reach over and slap Frank Santopadre for over prepping for an interview?
Is that his partner on
That's
the podcast?
His partner on the podcast.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah. He's got like 5,000 cards with like stuff written, and I'm after all but then I'm the opposite. Like I'll go in and there's a guest there and I'll go, What do you do exactly?
Well, I'll say this is when your podcast drops, it's a go-to to me. It's at the front of my queue always. It's Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast, and I have to
well,
say—
Well, the front of your queue should be the Mike O'Mara show.
Well, Mike, I lived it.
I mean, if you're talking about the front of your queue,
he
you know,
likes
that's how
shows
we make
he's
our
on.
Goddamn money.
He likes the show he's
day.
On. He's
I like Gilbert well enough, but—
yeah. But I have to compliment you. Your interview that I think it posted last week, you did an hour and a half or so with Alan Alda. That was fantastic. Do you ever just sort of step outside of the studio and sort of look in and say, oh, my God, I'm talking to Hawkeye Pierce? Is it weird when you talk to someone that is such an icon like that and you get to spend that much time with them?
Yeah. Sometimes I'll wake up and I'll think, oh, wait a second. Look who I'm talking to here. I got that way like Bruce Dern
yeah.
was on the show. And you think all these movies so you've jealous. Seen them in.
Oh, God, you interviewed Bruce Dern. I am so jealous. That what a combination of human beings. You and how long did you talk to Bruce Dern for?
Oh, for like an hour, hour and a half.
Well, I guess Gilbert wants a sandwich. You want a sandwich, Gilbert? Yes. I guess Gilbert's going to put, by the way.
By the way, my only Bruce Dern is the Great Gatsby.
Right, yeah.
Bruce Dern. That's the only one.
Well, Mr. Gatsby wants to go into the city.
That's all I have. That's the only reference I have. Hey, I want to point out, and you correct me if I miss anything that you're on. You've got the podcast. You're also on the Netflix special with Dave Attell and Jeff Ross, Bumping Mics, where do you find now that you're treated a little bit like the elder statesman of comedy, where these guys, because everybody likes to bust Gilbert's balls,
right.
but I'm sensing, like, especially on that Netflix special, there's a reverence, Gilbert, that people revere you. Do you get that sense?
That's a scary thing if that happens, because there are those comics that, you know, start going on shows and feel like they don't have to tell jokes anymore. They just have to show how much experience and how much they know. That happens to a lot of comics.
Well, let me tell you this, that if you're worried, and I know you're not because of what you do, I'm saying that they revere you, but then, and I can't say it on this particular podcast, but then Gilbert tells a joke. And when Gilbert, and let me tell you, there's no way that anyone that tells this joke will be considered an elder statesman. And there is no network television show that you will be able to go on and tell that joke. And all I will tell you is the joke involves a grandmother. That's it. I'm not saying anything else. But and also Gilbert,
I'm going to be telling that joke to Kelly Ripa on her show.
Oh God.
Oh my God, I would pay. I'd get a front row ticket to see you tell that particular joke. That is there's something about you. You get up there, and you've been doing this for so long, and the fearlessness, because you see, Gilbert, you walk up on stage, and we all know the voice, and we all that, but I don't know if people that haven't seen you perform live in your stand-up just realize how incredibly filthy you are,
yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried.
And it can come out of nowhere, because you'll do, two or three minutes of puns and family-friendly stuff, and then all of a sudden, he's with grandma again, and that's not okay.
Right.
My career is walking the tightrope in between early morning children's programming and hardcore porn.
he's an enigma wrapped in a row. Oscar, I know you wanted to ask something.
Gilbert, I wanted to ask you, we have you for X amount of minutes. I want to make sure I ask you this because it really, for some time now, I've been following the trajectory of your podcast and the success and the staying power. And here on the show, we're about to celebrate our 10-year anniversary next year. And
are you clapping, Gilbert? Are you clapping wherever you are? Okay, thank you.
And during that time, you really have to think about, wow, how many shows have really succeeded in this medium and continue to grow? And you have one of those programs that is part of that small member club that's exclusive, that says, okay, they're going to be here for a while. I feel, and I can't speak for you, but for us, that we have the freedom to do what we want on this program the way we want it. You probably have that same feeling, but I can't speak for you. I wanted to ask you, do you feel that freedom on your podcast to be yourself without being judged as much as we're all judged on terrestrial radio overall?
A little bit more, but not as obscene as I want to be.
That's fair.
I imagine it's dependent on the guest.
No, it is a lot more freedom that, you're not answering to, a director or a producer or something.
Right.
Is there anything that you want to do right now? I mean, obviously, you've got the stand-up. You've got the podcast. You've been... There's a little Gilbert in so many areas of show business. Is there anything that you want to do now? Is there anything in the pipeline, or is it primarily always going to be the stand up for you? Because I mean, you've done so much. You've been in this business a long time. How where do you see yourself being in 10 years?
I think I'll be the next Spider-Man. I mean, by then it'll be hard to put the tights over me, but
no, I don't think so. I think you're a thin guy. It'll be
CGI.
All right.
Well, Gilbert, I want to ask you a question. You've been at it since you're 15, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have been through it all, and now this new generation of comics. It seems like anyone that can string four jokes together gets a Netflix special. How does that make you feel that there are now so many more outlets for comics to find their way to the big time? Are you jealous? Do you think it's good for the business? How do you react to that?
I feel like the exact second I thought I had a vague idea of how show business worked, it all changed. Like, I still think in terms of movies and television, and it's like those seem like totally like talking about vaudeville now.
Yeah, I mean, anybody can do it. It can happen overnight to any human being. There is no, you know, break out in the comedy clubs, get yourself a sitcom, maybe get a movie. Now, you know, we've got in the news later on today, we've got the wealthiest people in show business. It starts with George Lucas and ends with Kylie Jenner, which is phenomenal to me. I mean, it's just anybody can do it. I don't know. The rules don't apply anymore, don't you think?
Yeah, and when people say to me, you know, star, I always think, well, you know, Julia Roberts and Tom Cruise are stars, but there are people on the internet, like, you know, 14-year-olds showing how to, like, squeeze a blackhead or something. And there's 20 billion people watching them, and if they get booked somewhere, there'll be crowds trying to get in.
I think what we should do is take one of those resorts and rebuild it and make it a comedy resort up there, like one of the Mrs. Man. I don't know why I'm so obsessed with that show.
Well, let's put everything together, Mike. Let's reopen Grossinger's and let's have Julia Roberts squeezing blackheads.
That's fantastic. One show only, Saturday night. Gilbert, where are you off to? Is there anything you want to plug before we let you go? We always appreciate you coming on.
My website is gilbertgottfried.com, and now I'm selling my own T-shirts on there because I'm a New Yorker.
And Gilbert,
any way I can squeeze a penny, I'm a New Yorker.
All right, here we go. The luxury we have in post-production on the Mike O'Mara Show is that we can edit in post, and I'm hoping we don't. Gilbert, tell any joke you want. No restrictions.
Yes.
Do not think about censorship. But, you know, I know you're capable of this. I know you've got them in your duffel bag. Tell us any joke you want. Doesn't matter how dirty it is. We will let you go with that. Lay it on us. Gilbert Gottfried, please do.
Okay. A little boy says to his mother, he goes, Mom, where do babies come from? And the mother says, well, a stork brings them. And the little boy goes, who f***s the stork?
You have not. That is like a Christmas present from me, Gilbert Gottfried. Thank you. God bless you. Gilbert, enjoy the holidays and come back on anytime. And we love you and have a wonderful season. Okay, Gilbert?
Thank you, Gilbert.
That'll be one bleep.
We can all tell at a Christmas party this year.
TMOS Classic.
Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices, and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vanta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off.
I will tell that joke I'm going to guess 20 times. Let me tell you why that joke works for me.
Okay.
The simplicity of it. Let me see if I've got it right.
Yeah.
Boy goes, ask the, how does it, how's it
go? A little boy goes to his mom.
A little boy goes to his mom, says, "Mom, where do babies come from?" And she says, "Well, that's the easy, son. They come from the stork." And then the baby says, the son says, "Well, who?
The stork. Stork." Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Know what?
Thank
it's good. The thing
much.
That
that's
I loved about
bad,
it.
That's how bad a joke teller I am. Well, he told it 2 minutes ago, and I've already forgotten it.
You got to soft sell it.
What I love about it is that it's got the setup of a longer joke.
Yes.
But right. It actually has got the length of a riddle. So it really, it's a good gut punch joke. I love
it. I've never seen, have you seen Gilbert stand up? I think he is
I never have.
I think he's a joke teller.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think he is. That is a lot of the cornerstone of his act, I believe. But it's a,
and
let
he
me
still
tell you,
does impressions of people from the 1930s.
He sounds like he's from the 1950s resort that we were talking about.
Perfect for Maisel.
But the thing is, that is exactly what I was doing. Was say, you're very New York. That is cold anti-Semite, say Jew. That is exactly what Gilbert's about. I want to tell everybody that at the end of this week, we are going to be taking our holiday break.
Yes.
And I can assure you that when we come back from the holiday, that I will have something to share with you, because I have broken down as of last night and I have made the arrangements and it is official. We are actually going to experience Florida at its finest and take my son to a theme park.
Hey, good for you.
Yeah, it's
big
after
you
all these years yelling and beating that drum, never go during Christmas or New Year's.
It's a good time to go, Mike, because no one goes during the holidays.
Now, hold on. We are going to be going. We are off from Friday, and then 2 weeks later, we come back the following Monday. So we are having
a short two weeks.
A short 2 weeks. I don't care. We're going for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, 2 weeks.
You know, lick balls if you don't like that. All right.
Most businesses are coming back.
He's referring to the ones you hang on your Christmas tree.
Christmas sweaty
balls.
Thank
you for clarifying.
Like Christmas.
Appreciate that.
But here, what I'm doing is, we do not celebrate New Year's Eve like other people celebrate.
I hate it
New
too.
Year's Eve.
I hate it.
We don't.
You said it was amateur hour.
Amateur night, and we will be leaving crack of dawn New Year's Day. Mm. We will be checking in New Year's Day when everybody is going to be checking out, and then we will be experiencing the park on January 2nd.
Gaming the system.
He's not.
No, actually, you know what?
This is the wrong week to do it.
If he has to do it during the holidays.
It's the middle of the week. Everyone's going back to work that following Monday.
If he has to do it during the holidays, he's doing it smart.
You're effed.
No, I think you're going to do great.
Jammed. It's going to be jammed.
Then
absolutely
how come
jammed.
I was able to get the reservation so easily?
Well, why wouldn't people want to take your money? Why wouldn't they want to take your money, Mike?
Because Mr. Argument. Because the hotel is sold out, which it wasn't.
You're not. First, let's be clear. You're not going to what people would think is your prototypical Orlando type of. Or a type of
and
amusement.
I'm going to Legoland.
And I
don't care who knows.
I don't want to be devil's advocate.
That's the Disney fan.
Stalk me. I'm fine. I'll be like, Rob, buy me a friggin' turkey leg.
I don't want to be a devil's advocate here, but Oscar has a point, because when they sell that hotel out at Legoland, they just build another room.
They're constantly building.
I need
and
some
then they're
white
breaking
ones
it down
over here.
Then they tear it apart. They build it in a different way.
Exactly. Exactly.
We need a new wing over here. The mayors
right,
are coming.
Oscar, there is an add-on that they do it for Legoland, which is a front of the line add-on. I did not purchase it because I thought it wouldn't be worth it.
Now, I have a question.
But it's too expensive even if it's...
What are we talking? Let's talk real dollars.
A front of the line thing where you pay
like a fast
to
pass.
Go to the front of a fast pass.
So an extra $400
per
person?
What? No.
Per person?
No, I imagine it would probably double the cost of your entry to the park. Is that about right?
I got hotel and tickets to the park. I got a package.
Okay. And you're a Florida resident. You're a Florida resident, so you technically should have a discount.
In-state rates.
No, I don't think so.
Does Disney do that?
Disney does that.
Okay, so I've done the Disney experience. I've done the Busch Gardens
Legoland.
Experience. Of course,
let me explain something about Disney. I'm going to talk about Disney for a second. Okay,
all right,
Disney,
please.
Disney doesn't do anything that's a legitimate discount.
Of course
period.
Not. They don't. You know what? They're the Apple.
Florida.
They're
anything.
The Apple of theme parks. They don't go on sale.
They don't sell anything at a Disney.
But that's the way Walt wanted it. By the way, Walt hated New Yorkers. Did you know that?
Stop it.
Question.
That's terrible.
What the hell is that?
Legendary.
He's saying that Walt Disney was a Nazi.
Yeah.
All right. My question is this, though. I've done the King's Dominion thing. I've never done a Lego property. Do they offer rides? Is it all like experience stuff? What is it? What's it like?
You don't just go there and build. I don't know. I saw a video. I watched a video.
That's a good video.
The theme park. And by the way, when you're talking about YouTube videos that have everything, they go from how to build a cabinet to how to wash your car to do anything, but the thing that I have now learned what I cherish on a YouTube video, and what I cherish is quality production values, which means a steady camera. And what is absolutely superfluous and unnecessary in a YouTube video showing something is narration. Okay,
yeah, you don't need it.
Idiots. Okay, big talkers thinking you're the next Dan Rather. You're not. Shut up and just put a nice little music. And even the music bed's not necessary. Just show the different attractions.
Just a silent picture?
What's that?
The silent picture?
Not a silent. No, you can actually show it, have an audio. What's with him today?
I don't know.
What's with him today?
He's been that way all week.
He's been a scab picker.
This is logic. Yeah. I'm just asking you questions.
If you don't have sound or music,
then you have silence.
No. Here, let me give you an example, all right? Let's say we're talking about the Lego park and the video that I skipped right by because I wasn't going to listen to this douche.
Okay.
Okay? So the guy comes on and goes, hey, Lego Man, Legoland Larry here. Well, you might have remembered my last video. And I'm like, F you. Goodbye.
You're not famous.
I don't care. And then but hold on, Rob. I'm trying to explain myself here. So the Legoland dude, which he called himself, a grown man, which immediately, the perv button goes off because I'm sitting there going, well, why is this guy all by himself in that park anyway, which is designed for like 10 and under. That's exactly what it is.
Disagree. There is an AFOL community that is large.
What community?
AFOL.
What's that?
Adult fan of Lego.
Okay.
That is present.
No. There's really a term for that?
Oh, yeah.
AFOL?
I think it's pretty
common. Okay, that's going off. That's the alarm going off now.
I'm friends with AFOLs. Like, they will build complex Lego.
Is this on your
gaming thing when you do your Minecraft
and
all that?
There was a
land of the sick right there.
Four or five years ago where
I don't spend all my time online. Sometimes I'm playing with Legos.
Lego Larry here. I'm going to show you the best things about the park that we have.
I'm an adult fan of Lego, a.k.a.
I'm an
AFOL.
And I love the way they give it an acronym so it doesn't sound pervy.
Yeah, and you tried to slide by
adult
pretty quick.
Adult fans of Lego. Yeah. Is it the product or is it the parks?
Well, the products and the parks go hand in hand. They're brand extensions of each other. The products, and really for AFOLs, this is their hedonism too, where if you go to Legoland in Florida or LA, depending on where you go, different builds are on display.
That's right. Some of them with rounded corners.
Yeah, well, I saw that. And Mike, by the way, what did you say? I missed
some
that one.
Some of them with rounded corners, which is important for the real intense AFOLs.
Hey, I will tell you this, that my kid loves the cities. So he's all about the new, because they have Florida City and stuff. So, he loves the construction of Legos.
The video you were talking about with Lego Larry, does it open with a shot of like the park?
No, it often opens with a shot of him with the park in
back. It might be this one. Is this the guy?
Six days left for Christmas shopping. Hi there. The Christmas shopping days are clicking off. Only six days left. So you better hurry, hurry, hurry.
You know what? He was an AFOB, an adult fan of bourbon.
Another thing that I hate is when you have a high-powered heavy metal soundtrack.
I hate that.
Oh, that's
for example, I'm a connoisseur. I love the YouTube. I really do. There's just so much information you get. But there's also, if you're really bored, you can do a deep dive and find out. I like my inner violent nature. I like hockey fights. Right?
Sure.
So I like watching hockey fights.
You've watched those for years.
Yeah, I will not watch hockey fights when it comes on with. It's like,
Master Puppets.
I don't need that. You don't need to enhance a hockey fight.
You're right.
What you need, what's great is if you get hockey fights with a play by play.
But
getting back
comes
to the park.
Butters.
So, and now Smith wants a piece of Butters. Now Smith, he spills Butters. Right hands by Kurt Brackenberry. Well, now Brackenberry and Selwood want to go, and there they go.
Mike.
You know what? Can I play that today?
I'll play that today.
Find it and I'll play it in the next break.
Oh, I think that'd be great.
The greatest play-by-play of a fight that you've ever heard.
I'm sure I have it too, though.
If you have it, you find it while I'm talking. And if we have it, we can play it in the next break. But getting back to the videos, Oscar. So after I booked the hotel and I booked the it, which includes the parts, like one-stop shop. And there's the really, really nice hotel, which is, you know, made out of Legos or whatever, but it's double what the other stuff is. So I go to the second tier one, which is the motel, right? And so I'm like, well, I want to take the family there. And then I said, well, let's see what the park has to offer. And I try to get a view. I go to the guy that's like, hey, Lego man back here. You might have remembered last year when I did my tour of the park. And I was like, okay, I hate you already, and I don't want to hear about you. And then two or three into it, I get this beautifully photographed, almost professionally done, lovely light soundtrack.
Oh, nice.
With park noise in the background, the kids laughing and giggling, showing, but the only thing they show is the outside of the attractions. So I'm desperately trying to say, can we get just a little bit more when you go
you
into the
have,
Lego Pirate
do you think
Adventure
they have,
or whatever?
Like, rules, like camera rules, like a wax museum?
I'm not sure.
How tall is little Michael?
Tall enough to probably go on like a kid's roller coaster.
Pro tip, because I've been through this with my niece and nephew.
Sure.
They have thicker soled sneakers to get them past a certain threshold.
Great. Just go to CardiBee.com.
You're a park nerd just like he is.
I know this because my niece was going crazy before we went to one of the Disney attractions 2 years ago. And she said, I need my other sneakers. I said, those are fine. She goes, no, the thicker sole gets me past the line.
That's true.
All right. That makes sense.
Yeah, because there's going to be an ambivalent teenager with a pole. So you have to remember,
my guy is still five. And he is still pliable where he can be, we can basically move him in any direction we want. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like he likes the whole concept, but after this is where parents should all be aware of this. Carla and I last night, I bring this to Carla. I said, I wanted to do something for the little guy. That's what I wanted to do. This was the idea. It's an overnight for us. It's
Does
not
he know
a week's trip.
Yet?
Well, here's the story. So I said, should we tell him on Christmas and like, or maybe have him open a card and then read the card that we're going to Legoland? And then Carl and I, we lock it in. We get the babysitter to watch the dogs. We're set. We're locked in. I booked the hotel. And then we said, oh, let's just tell him.
Yeah.
And then you know how the parents get all excited? And so he comes out and he's like, he's got the croup.
Yeah.
Hey, guess where we're going to go after Christmas, not before. So what? Legoland. And he goes, oh, wow. Can I go back and watch my tune now?
Oh.
And that's when you. It's for the parents. Oh, it's not for the
sick
burn.
Because
he's five.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
Because he's five.
He doesn't know what that is.
Let me offer this. I feel that after he goes to Legoland, he's going to know how great it was, and then the next time it's going to be very special. He doesn't know what to anticipate.
Well, that's awfully expensive for him not knowing what it is.
Well, he'll come away from it being very happy.
You should show him a YouTube video.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not with Lego Larry or whatever the dude.
Well, you should show him that video and say, don't
you might remember the last time I was here. Blah, blah, blah.
Show him that video.
You might remember last time when I toured the park. Yeah. Well, now, listen, if you're going to go on the ride, I'm Oscar Santana. Wear thicker sneakers. Yes, it'll allow you to get on the. Yes, sirree. And make sure you. I think it's going to be the road less traveled, Oscar.
Okay.
That's what I'm hoping. Yeah. Listen. You know what? All I can be is wrong, and if I'm wrong, I will come back and I will tell you.
No, you can always upgrade your pass as well if you don't like lines.
Yeah. Do they have booze in Legoland? I haven't found that out.
Mike, what what I couldn't get out earlier is I'm going this vacation to Legoland before you get there, so I can give you a full recon.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Hide something in the park for him that he can find.
Like a Zag nut?
Yeah, exactly.
There's the true child. There's the true holiday child right there. He means it. He wants you to do that. We'll take a break. Did you find the fight?
I did, and I know what you can hide for him.
What?
Your letter of resignation.
Thank you.
I found it!
Well, we'll take a break when we come back. More fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
TMOS Classic.
Jack Ferreira and I talked about Bill Butters, a conspicuous absentee in period number one. But the first shift, he's out there drawing a minor penalty. Larry throwing some punches at Larry Plough.
Larry Plough went after him, too. And that gives you some idea if you're a regular follower of the Whalers.
Well, now Brackenberry and Selwood want to go, and here they go. Brackenberry and Selwood. Brackenberry gets two right hands. Selwood wrestling him now. 15 feet inside the line. Here's Butters sneaks a shot on Plough. Bill Butters
from behind. That's all. Here comes the win.
Gentlemanly, sneaky, just plain rotten things I've ever seen. Butters came from behind, came up behind Plough and cold cocked him from behind. Smith and Garrett are at it. Hank Slavin has somebody down. Landon and
Slavin's hurt, Bill. They're calling for the trainer. And now Gambucci and Hurley, who are wrestling at center, come up. And now it's Smith and Garrett fighting. Wild scene here at the Civic Center as players in sticks and gloves all over the ice. The irony of the situation is Selwood and Brackenberry, who started it all, are now kind of just hugging each other at center ice, dancing around. But you're right, Bill. The despicable act by Bill Butters, sucker-punching Larry Plough. And now, here we go. We still got Smith and Garrett involved with Busnick and Ricky Lee. And Landon's out there with McCartan. And here we go again.
And Smith and Garrett.
Lisa Garrett. But Garrett hasn't taken off his mask. And now Nick and Carlson come together. And now Nick wants Carlson. That's obvious.
This may be the main event. He was just holding off, holding two Saints, one in each hand. Oh, Carlson just cold cocked Nick.
And Nick comes right back at him. Here they go. Patino and Carlson. Look at them slugging each other.
And down here in the far right hand, Brackenberry and Selwood still having some comments, still taking some swings. It looks like Saturday night at Roseland in New York. Everybody's paired off. All the good guys in white and the other ones are in blue. And linesmen, now Frenchie and Hampson are going at it. Selwood and Brackenberry. Bob, you watch the left-hand boards. I'll watch the right, and we'll just kind of override each other. How about that?
Well, now Butters and Swain are going at it in front. Smith now flailing away at Garrett. Right hands by Al Smith on John Garrett. Carlson and Fatio are separated. Nick's face is bloody. We've got a wild scene here in Hartford. And the irony of it all, look at the two trainers, Joe Altot and Glenn Gostick, just calmly chirping at the line. Selwood and Brackenberry finally get rid of each other. We've got cups and sticks.
Nick is cut, and he's going right to the box after Carlson. He shrugs the linesman off, gets spun around, and now both linesmen are in front of Cavotillo. He's going into the visitor's box if he can get there, Bob.
Well, affable Bill Henderson, the Whalers director of minor officials, must be counting his breath down there because he's got Carlson in there and an angry Fatio and a cut Fatio wanting at Mr. Carlson. But as we suspected, Glass Bell let this get out of hand. It all started, and now Butters and Swain, and Smith wants a piece of Butters. Look at Al Smith against Bill Butters.
He just rides him right out of the play, too.
Smitty
kills him. Smitty is really laying it on Butters, and Butters takes another right hand. Now
players bench
in the Saints players bench, there is a battle like you wouldn't believe.
Lee, Fotiu, and Carlson are down on the floor on the players' bench, Bob. You've got to get up here to see it all. Well, we hope to send soon cooler heads. And now fans throwing beer down there. I hope they don't get involved in that because then it really will get nasty. I don't know. Alan Glassbell better get out his pencil. He is going to have his hands full, and there's still fights breaking out everywhere on the ice. I've never seen a scene like this, Bill, ever. I've seen many a nasty brawl, but never one as vicious and as long as this one.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.
Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vanta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off.